Good evening and welcome to another episode of Big Gay Date. My name's Carl Skeens.
My name is Dave Mosley, and you're joining us for another alternative commentary of a classic movie. And tonight's movie is the 1985 Robert Zemeckis cult blockbuster?
Oh, no. It's a classic.
Okay. There's an important distinction to make there.
Yeah. I mean, nothing cult about this. This is one of the most mainstream, like, most loved science fiction movies in the world.
Yes. But when you try and describe what it's about, it does sound like you're describing a cult classic.
Yeah, when you start getting into the incest and shit, it sounds like you're describing, like, Porky's or something.
Yeah, yeah. I try to limit myself. I was like, describe this movie in 20 words, and I came up with it. It's the story of a teenage boy who steals his elderly male friend's car and goes back in time, where he steals Chuck Berry's career and tries not to fuck his mom. Am I wrong? I don't think so.
I don't think it's...
And that sounds like some weird kind of like trauma movie shit or something, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway...
But I don't think he tries to fuck his mom. I think
He tries to resist fucking his mom. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The temptation's there and she's all for it, but he's trying desperately not to. Anyway, back to the future.
Okay. This is the one with actually Crispin Glover in it, too. So that's nice. We don't get him that often.
Now, what... I don't want to talk too much about over this opening shot, but what killed his career? Was it turning up on Letterman completely off his tits or something? Or was it just... He's also
super fucking eccentric.
Yeah.
And it could be an acquired taste.
Okay. Here we have some foreshadowing. There's a man I want to go for. This is a really, really well done opening shot.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we're kind of panning across, there's lots of little clues as to what's going to happen, introduces little elements of the characters. So we're getting, you know, big adoration for inventors.
The Brown Mansion got destroyed.
Lives like a fucking slob. Even now, the radio talking.
What is that?
Hmm?
Oh, it's Bill. Okay. Mm. Okay.
These hilarious fucking Rube Goldberg style machines that just to feed a dog that isn't even there, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Here we have the setup with the terrorists.
The Libyans.
The Libyans stealing the plutonium, which I think we see in this shot. The camera keeps panning over. It's a really good tracking shot. Just lots of setup and stuff that's going to come back around later in the movie, which is everything in this film has a purpose, it feels like. Like, not a single line, not a single background detail is wasted. It's not there super...
It's all there for a reason, even if it doesn't feel like it's there for a reason.
Exactly.
There's payoffs that don't come for two movies.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That you didn't even know were setups.
The only other film like that I can really think of is Hot Fuzz, that does that so well. Lots and lots of telegraphing.
Well, this is another one of those movies that basically originated at least a handful of tropes
mm-hmm.
that many science fiction movies since have
yeah.
at least like taken into their toolbox, you know?
Where was this in relation to time travel movies? This was after The Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
The original Terminator. That was 1982 or 1984, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it was before Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Here's the plutonium. So this is where... So now we know a little bit more about this guy now.
Kind of shady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just such a well-done introduction. And for some reason, we obviously know that this guy... Do we see his face yet? We don't know he's a kid, I guess, but sounds like a kid. But
I mean, he came in with a skateboard.
Yeah. And so now we're wondering, like, why is he hanging around with this guy who steals plutonium? And has this massive fucking amp. Like, did he build it just for him or something?
No, I'm under the understanding that amp was built for an experiment, and Marty McFly comes in, and he's like, fuck it, I'm going to use that shit for me.
What kind of experiment would... I mean... you know, he designs the DeLorean for functionality to kind of blend in and shit. So What kind of experiment would...
What kind of blending in was the DeLorean doing?
It's better
than DeLorean. It's one of the worst cars ever made.
But, well, the real story of that is there was originally a fridge, right? And then they didn't want kids climbing into fridges trying to reenact the movie.
Yeah.
There's an excuse in the movie, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he comes up with.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember what it was. I haven't seen this movie in ages.
I think Marty... Well, yeah, so that's the classic line. He's like, you mean to tell me you built a time machine?
Out of a DeLorean?
It's for style. That's what it is. Just saying that line, I got the callback there.
Yeah. Twin Pines. That's another thing that you don't even know is going to be referred to.
You don't even
later.
Know it's a thing until an hour and 40 minutes from now. And that brings us on to let's just get some business out of the way. What are you drinking tonight, Carl?
Tonight I'm drinking Yingling.
I'm drinking Bud Light. I'm also a little stuffy, so I'll probably be knocking back some NyQuil as well.
Oh, cool.
Mixing
okay.
it up. We are drinking now, but this is not a drinking game. You can drink along with us. You cannot just, you know, you're just along for the ride, whatever helps you enjoy the movie more. But we will be taking some shots at predetermined points in the movie. We each pick a favorite point, mm-hmm. and we have each brought our own favorite mm-hmm. liquor tonight. So since you mentioned Twin Pines, I'm going to throw it out there. That's my favorite part of this movie.
Okay.
Is when he goes back to the mall later.
To the original pine.
To the...
When he comes back later.
When he comes back.
The name's different.
And he's... When we see... It's a very small detail where he's affected history... in such a small way, but it's one of those things again. It's like, damn, that's really well thought out. The foresight to actually slip that in there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not to draw huge attention to or anything. So that is my shot for tonight. I'm going to be drinking some Honey Jack because, like I say, my throat is killing me.
Okay.
What have you brought, and what's your favorite moment?
I'm pretty sure I brought Belvedere Peach Vodka.
Okay.
I don't know. I have so many, like, favorite moments in this. It's such a good film. That'll be a really hard thing to
choose. Is it one of those things you're not going to know it until you see it? Are you just going to call it when it comes up?
I don't know. See, even the mayor signs that he just passed mm-hmm. by are setting up. God. And also keep confusing. It's really easy to blend in the events of Back to the Future 2 with the timeline of Back to the Future 1 when
yeah.
you're trying to decide, you know?
When he goes back the second time, tries to get the almanac.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot. It can get a little confusing as to what timeline occurs in which movie
uh-huh.
to an extent.
We'll go with... 1950s Biff with the shit in his car.
Okay. And he crashes into the... That's good. That's a halfway point. Now, Strickland's the bad guy, but he's got some good advice here talking about how Doc Brown is maybe not the kind of person you want to be hanging around with. And as we find out, he stole plutonium from terrorists and gets gunned down. It's a fair argument to make, I guess.
It's you can't just look in the phone book and find your local terrorist. Like, in order for him to have even hooked up with the Libyans, Doc Brown has got to be into some shady shit.
Yeah.
He's got to have, like, kind of a questionable like, link of people.
Yes. You can't just go on Craigslist and...
Now, the guy running this audition is Huey Lewis
mm-hmm.
from is Huey he... Lewis in the News.
Is he disguised or any way?
He was the guy wearing the glasses.
Yeah, is that his disguise? Does he wear glasses normally or what?
No.
It's not like a Clark Kent kind of thing.
No.
Okay.
It's if you knew who Huey Lewis in the News was in
you
the
recognized
80s,
him immediately.
Very easily, yeah.
And they're playing Power of Love, right?
Which is
not the song they wrote. They wrote Back in Time, but mm-hmm. I guess this was a popular song at that time as well.
Yeah. See, and for us, that's like an Easter egg, like trivia moment in the eight. But in reality, that's like a dated joke that no longer makes sense.
Yeah.
Re-elect Goldie Wilson. Mm-hmm. So he's already been the mayor.
Yes. And he's doing a terrible job, because look at all these businesses closing down and moving in the background. He's running this town to shit.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's letting these guys... And everybody's having to turn to the Libyans to get work and shit. What a terrible time to be alive. No wonder his mom's an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, she was an alcoholic even before... Even when he shows up and she's a teenager, she's already an alkie. Oh, convenient exposition.
Yeah, this is our exposition scene. Again, everything... Let's assume you have seen this movie if you're listening to this.
Uh-huh.
And you should be picking up on
I don't give a shit about spoilers for a 30-year-old movie.
Yeah, no. Every single thing you're seeing here should be... you should be recognizing as a callback to the very end of the movie, basically.
Yeah. And didn't this... didn't most of this set burn down? On the lot in California? Also, didn't they use the square in a lot of movies?
Yes. This is out at Universal Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard different stories about that. There was that big fire a few years ago that burned down the...
I heard they didn't lose everything. But
yeah. I think the clock tower itself stayed intact.
That's honestly the most important set piece.
And yeah. The rest of the set, you know, it changes so often anyway.
That's just really iconic.
Yeah, that's the only part that stays pretty much the same across all three films, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else...
we get glass front on it in the second one.
Yeah.
That's about it. And then she turned into Elizabeth Shue for the second and third.
Yeah, was there any rhyme or reason to that? Was she an asshole to deal with as well?
I don't think so. Ooh. No,
she gave
area
a fake
code.
Number.
You
there's
fucked,
no. Yeah.
If a girl here gives you a 7-digit number, that does not help.
No. Orgy, American style.
Now, in the second one, you know how they mentioned the Cubs?
Mm-hmm.
In the of World course. Series against Miami.
Yeah.
Do you remember that on the 30th anniversary?
Oh, God, yeah.
When they did the Back to the Future 2, there was no Miami team.
Mm.
So you obviously can't do a World Series, but the Cubs invited the actual team that is the Miami team on the 30th anniversary to come play against them.
No way.
Yeah. You can't miss that promo opportunity. That's awesome for both teams.
Did they win or lose? Because that's hugely embarrassing if they set up the whole thing and they lost.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure nobody cared. I'm pretty sure it was the equivalent of an exhibition match.
Everybody gets a trophy day or something.
Yeah. Come out and spend money. Biff's such a dick.
So did you read in more recent interviews with the way that the world has gone now that Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis kind of admitted, yeah, this guy was based on Trump?
Oh, I'd believe, yeah. I knew that around the second one.
Yeah, definitely in the second one when he builds his whole casino and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were absolutely channeling that back in the day. And now
he was evil even then.
Yeah, and now life imitates art. It's so crazy. But he did not try and sue them for it. That's a myth.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, as long as you're vague enough and don't put that in writing at the moment, it's really hard to, get sued for that and lose. Fuck you, Biff. It's such a satisfying moment any time in this, trilogy when anything bad happens to him. Anything.
Have you listened to his, seen his concerts live?
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
Oh, man, I got some videos to show you after this.
It's good?
It's
funny.
His name, Thomas Wilson, he has a whole song about the stupid questions that people ask him, obsessed about Back to the Future and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like he knows.
Yeah.
I'm just an actor in a movie from 30 years ago. What are you...
Yeah.
You know?
I won't try and butcher it on here, but it's very entertaining how people ask the same damn questions every single time and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And honestly, I would feel for that also. I would totally hate to be a celebrity that got famous on a show with a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Because then people are yelling it at you at every bar from, like across
hello,
the street.
Hello, McFly. Yeah. He probably says so damn much.
I mean, Gary Coleman had to get, what'd you talk about, Willis, all the time. All the time.
And he's not even Willis.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't shoot anybody in the face.
Well...
Like, after how many years does
crotch.
That break you?
Yeah, easier.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I can't remember the first time I watched this movie. I can remember the last time I watched it, and it was in the... it was in 2010, and it was the 25th anniversary. It's one of the only times I think I can remember... I can't think of any other movie I've done this, but I actually went and paid for a ticket in the theater to watch it again on the big screen. I was over here visiting. I wasn't living here at the time. Wasn't seeing anybody. I was by myself, and just so happened Universal were playing it on the October 26th or whatever it is that he goes back. So it was the 25 year anniversary of when he, not when it was released, but when he goes back in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, I gotta go see this. So it was a lot of fun. It was a high mastered version and everything, so you can see the makeup on her face looks pretty ropey in the real close-ups that we'll see in a moment. But it was a really fun viewing experience, like people cheering at the right times and stuff. Not too many assholes making it into like a Rocky Horror Picture Show, like recalling the back lines and shit. But just a really fun viewing experience, like when the DeLorean finally goes back in time and the fire trails appear between their legs and everything, everyone just like, you know, leaps to their feet and goes cheering and shit. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fun way to watch this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember your first memory of this?
No, I don't. I do not remember a time not knowing what Back to the Future was.
That's the thing, yeah. I can't remember. It's one of those films that's just always been in my brain, in my head. Now, I don't know if I ever saw, maybe, I think I may have seen the second one first.
Ooh.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Not the third one.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I think the third one gets shit on quite a lot.
I don't dislike it, mm-hmm. but out of them, it is my least favorite.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's one of my favorite westerns, I would say.
Young Guns 2 is mine, bro.
Okay.
Young Guns 2 is such a fun 80s western. It's mm-hmm. so good.
I do like how tight this one is. Like we say, mm-hmm. everything has a purpose. Everything's there for its own reason.
I'd gotta say the second one.
The second one is a lot of fun, though. Yeah, it definitely adds an extra layer of complication and stuff.
Yeah, and you start getting those like a payoff in a totally different movie. You start realizing that's going to be happening in this.
Yeah, absolutely. It also raises the stakes mm-hmm. as well. This one is it's cool, but it's a very personal. The stakes are very personal to Marty. When he goes back, all he's concerned with is getting home and saving kind of his existence. Because mm-hmm. when he fucks up his parents not meeting and everything, that's really only affecting him. Of course, the other things that he does wind up making everything much better for not just him, but his family and, you know, everything kind of works out for everyone else around them. But in the second one, you know, you've got fucking President Trump in there. And, you know, a wildly different city that he returns to and everything. So, yeah, and the town completely destroyed. And, you know, stakes are much bigger in the second movie when he goes back. So there's much more pressure.
Uh-huh.
Also, not to fuck up what you did in the first movie as well. So,
yeah. I was reading recently a theory in this that what we're seeing right now is Marty A.,
okay.
Okay. When Marty A. goes back in time to the original Doc, mm-hmm. he doesn't have the flyer with him, doesn't bring anything with him, doesn't have plutonium, nothing, so he can't get back. Doc A. Sends Marty, because Marty can't go home, you know, so the best thing here is go do something, just get the fuck away from here,
uh-huh.
because you can't meet yourself, because it creates a a paradox in the space-time continuum.
Which we'll come back to in a second. I have a point on that. But
yeah. So Marty A goes off and does his shit. The Marty B that we see immediately after this scene is Marty B. Okay, so Doc A that saw Marty A and then sent him off to live on his own back in the 50s, that Doc feels guilty as shit that he just ruined a random kid's life.
Right.
So he spends all this time, all this 30 years from the 50s to the 80s, doing all the research and doing all the prep work based on everything that he knew he was going to accomplish, and also knew what information needed to be given to Marty, knowing that in the 80s, Marty B, this new Marty in the continuum, is going to be able to go back. That Marty B comes back with everything, and it's kind of Doc's redemption story.
Okay.
And it's... Okay. I'm not going to suck you into the rabbit hole, but let's just say there was like
I'm already waist deep in there, man. Yeah, so you might as well.
There's like 9 pages of like really like heavy shit.
So what you're saying is between 1955 and 1985, Doc's not just kind of living life as he would have done, but he's also
Doc,
kind of like stacking the deck. And
Doc
shit.
Isn't a he didn't start working at the Libyans just because of this experiment. Who the fuck is going to start working a terrorist just because you want to try like your single experiment? His motivation isn't that. His motivation is working with these terrorists and putting his life at risk just so that he can redeem himself.
Okay.
And save this Marty. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure. Okay.
You know, it's. I'm not doing it justice, but it's really
and
heavy.
That's the problem with this movie. There are so many rabbit holes you can go down.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, there is a big. It doesn't really come into it too much because only Marty goes back, and obviously he doesn't exist back in 1955. So it doesn't come up until the second movie. But the whole thing about make sure you don't meet your future or your past self, because it'll create a paradox, which kind of happens when Jennifer meets old Jennifer they both pass out and everything. And when the two Docs meet, Doc's very conscious not to look him in the eye and shit, because I guess that's what triggers it, you know, like fucking weeping angels or something. I don't know.
I don't know, wouldn't you have a like an existential crisis if someone knocked at your door and you answered it and it was you and you made eye contact? Would you not shit your pants?
Yeah, like if you the eyes are the gateway to the soul, so you would know looking in the eye. So I think that's why Doc is constantly, when he's having that conversation about the weather experiment and shit, he's constantly shuffling around so he never gets a good look at him because the other guy might tip him off. Though there's a whole like 5-minute sequence of young Biff and old Biff in the car talking about all the different stats. And nothing bad happens at all there. The consequences to the universe could be disastrous.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
Well, maybe they were disastrous, just it worked out in his favor for a while before the disastrous thing like, what if that meeting and him changing all this stuff and becoming rich was the catalyst for the bad thing in the paradox, you know?
Well, it obviously was. It's the thing that sends him on his way to make all his money and get...
Fuck Biff, bro. I hate Biff. He is definitely one of the... definitely not the scariest, but probably one of the more iconic movie villains, and I don't think he makes the list nearly as much as he should. It's always like Hans Gruber and shit, and I think Biff should at least be in that list.
Yeah, when you think of movie villains, you think about, oh, they killed this many people, or... You know, oh, this was their evil plan, but Biff's just, he's just a bully.
The same actor is 3 different dudes over 3 movies, and he's iconic as shit.
Yeah. There's 3 different, there's 2 different Biffs, I guess. Because young Biff becomes old Biff, so that is still the same guy, but...
Okay.
But yeah, Biff in general, he's an underrated villain, just because he doesn't kill anybody, although he probably... He killed George McFly, actually.
He tried
too,
to rape
right?
fucking Mama McFly.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you kind of forget. When you kind of go through and kind of score him up, he's definitely an underrated villain of the piece, of movies in general.
Yeah, he never makes the list.
Never makes that top 100 list.
He is at least in the top 100, if not the top, like, 20. Not the top 10.
No.
Definitely not the top 10.
No. That's a very exclusive club.
Absolutely.
It's a little crowded at the top.
There's some scary-ass people in the top 10. Oh no, it's totally hot. That's hot ice.
Shh, shh, shh.
Just like cold fire.
Moron. Now, if you were a scientist, wouldn't you use two of the exact same model stopwatch?
Yeah.
For a control?
Mm-hmm. Likely.
I mean, we're picking hairs about a scientist that... Let's see. Like, we've seen where he lives.
Yeah.
And we know who his business partners are, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, we see where he lives in the 50s, and at one point, Doc Brown...
How do you think his mansion burns down? Is that ever explained?
We
know it burns down.
I'm sure if we were to pause it and read that article from the very beginning, first shot, we'd figure that out.
It's never explained in the movie, is it?
I don't think so.
It's not something that, like, Marty
Mm-mm.
leaves the stove on or something before they leave, or...
It just kind of sets us up for another question.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he wearing old age makeup right now? I think he is.
Yeah.
You can tell, especially in high definition... With Old Biff and Old Lorraine, they definitely, just around the neck.
They look like really dusty latex.
It's very, yeah, very wrinkly.
Yeah.
Still looks better than Christopher Lloyd now, though, honestly. I love seeing Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love that they're still willing to embrace the characters, but it also makes me very sad. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of breaks my heart a little bit every time.
Uh-huh.
Especially, was it, there was something, I think it was a Jimmy Fallon show, Jimmy Kimmel show, or some special they did where they both came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Doc Brown... Like Christopher Lloyd seems to be having real trouble just getting his lines out mm-hmm. and stuff. And it's a shame looking back at how effortlessly, he's kind of like Dan Aykroyd in Ghostbusters. He can just spout all this technological, scientific mumbo-jumbo just off the cuff.
Yeah.
And he just can't do it anymore.
I was just watching a video the other day of Dan Aykroyd just talking about like his beliefs. About, like, supernatural shit.
That man can talk for fucking days.
I had no idea that his character in Ghostbusters is just how he feels.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's, he's obviously much younger than Christopher Lloyd, but yeah, he still seems like sharp as a tack when you see him in movies and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
He's in the new Ghostbusters, but he doesn't really do any of that stuff, you know? He's the taxi driver, that's right.
Uh-huh. Plutonium. Oh. Yo. See, and is he wearing the armor? Or is he not?
Because...
It looks like he is.
Because maybe he's wearing... Because Marty... Now, this is the thing. Marty technically hasn't gone back in time yet, although he is going to. We know that because everything... I mean, which timeline are we watching right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
Well, okay, no. We know we're in a different timeline because we saw it say Twin Pines Mall.
Okay, when he changes everything, is he the only... Okay. We're on a timeline. When he changes everything...
We need the chalkboard like he has in too, right?
Yeah.
Just trying to map this shit out.
Is he the only one that remembers the world as it was, and when he comes back, the Doc and his parents and all that, for all intents and purposes, are totally new people, and the people in the first timeline are just continuing to live their shitty life, sans Marty? Once Marty's gone, because he is the focus.
Yes.
Once the focus of the once he is gone out of that universe, does that universe cease to exist? Because when he comes back, clearly he's in another one because he's got a truck, and that fucking means something. So, does he? What happens? You know?
I see. Is there an alternate timeline that continues on without Marty, where he just disappears into out of existence?
Yeah.
And his parents worry about where he went, and they can't get over it. And, like, they fall into depression and mom fucking kills herself and shit.
Yeah. The Libyans get all except for like that last like bit of plutonium.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Okay. He totally knows. Because there was no blood. There's no blood. So this is Doc.
I would disagree with you there, because it's clearly a different timeline than when he returns to.
Uh-huh.
Because of the... If you're playing by that rule, if you're playing by the fact that we know Marty's going to go back in time and tell him, and everything that happens has already happened as we're watching it right now. That's
Marty McFly is the reason that that Chuck Berry wrote Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Okay.
Chuck Berry's just been taking credit for this shit that he heard over a shitty phone in the 50s.
Which, rest in peace, Chuck Berry.
Yeah, that just happened. That's really sad. Have you seen the video of why Yoko Ono is a bitch? And it's this footage of John Lennon and Chuck Berry, and they're both playing guitar, and they're singing a song, and then Yoko Ono is doing, like, vocals as well. And she's doing her yell thing, and you just see John Lennon bobbing his head and continue to play the guitar, but every time she does it, Chuck Berry, as soon as she starts singing, Chuck Berry starts side-eyeing her, and then he starts looking at John Lennon like, you pussy-whipped motherfucker.
I have not seen that.
Oh my god, it's the funniest thing, bro.
I never even knew they hung out. I know that the Beatles came over. Like, Chuck Berry's the one who kind of started that style of rock and roll, I guess.
Oh, you can't play rock and roll without doing something that originated with Chuck. Mm. Things that Chuck Berry did are just synonymous with rock and roll now. Mm. He was just the first guy.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't play some shit and not be influenced by Chuck Berry if you play rock and guitar. Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I'm going back, sorry, because I'm still stuck on this. So, no, I don't think he was wearing a bulletproof vest back then.
Really? Okay, okay.
I think, because the argument you're making is that
I'm on theory, too. I'm not even... Yeah, like...
you're saying the timeline has already been affected because Marty McFly is going to go back in time, so everything that he's about to do right now, he's already done in the timeline that we just saw happen, right?
Yeah, because time is not...
But that's not true, because the mall was called Twin Pines.
Uh-huh.
So that tells me
time is not linear, and it's like a loop, and every time Marty McFly goes back and this point in time happens, it just gets better and better. What if it was Three Pines before and we didn't see that movie?
Fucking potheads. Time's not linear, man.
But that just your opinion, man.
No, I stick by
we can agree on the path of least resistance.
Yeah, at least right now I feel like we're following the timeline as Marty sees it.
Yeah.
At least. Because I don't think there's... I don't know, and this might get messed up in 2 and 3, but I don't think there's anything that happens because of something that they already did. So this is where and hang on, there it goes.
Oh.
It's going to have dire consequences. rip apart the very fabric of the space-time continuum. What I like in Bill and Ted is just kind of play with that whole that whole theory of, like, you know, they're trying to break into the police station. They were like, okay, after we win this, then we got to take the booth, we got to go back in time, we got to come back to this point, we got to steal your keys, and we got to put them
right here, and they find the keys, and it's like, that's the theory you're talking about, where everything's kind of already happened and everything. It's something like, you know, why couldn't they? I mean, in this movie in particular, yeah, he has no plutonium, so he really only has one shot to get back. But in the second and third movies, particularly stealing the almanac from Biff, they do seem to be on a particular time crunch, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird when you have a time machine.
Yeah.
So, and the whole, and, all right, my friend Brad made an excellent point of Back to the Future. And it's really, there's no shortage of people who will shit on the Back to the Future trilogy for the time paradoxes. Mm-hmm. Dime a dozen online. But my friend Brad had one that nobody else seems to have mentioned. A lot of the issues with Back to the Future Part 2, like, for all intents and purposes, the first 20 minutes, everything kind of works fine. They go to the future, they stop Marty's kid from getting arrested, Biff goes in jail, and it kind of sets his family up to be good again.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole reason of going to the future. What fucks it up is the police finding Jennifer passed out in the alley, taking her home. That turns out that whole fucking side thing, during which time Biff takes the fucking time machine back in time. Now,
if you weren't sure if the actress is going to come back, don't finish movie one with her in the car.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. But what my friend Brad was saying is, as soon as you see them loading her into the cop car and taking her away, don't fucking follow the cops back to the house and start that whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Take a time machine, go back 10 minutes, move her so the cops don't find her.
Yeah.
And then when they come back, you know, leave a fucking note or something. I don't know. So you know, so that the past yous know where she's going to be. And then you all go back to 1985, mission accomplished, credits.
Done. Yeah, yeah. No questions asked.
Right.
I love how
now that would be a sucky movie. I get it, but that's just an interesting paradox that I don't think anybody else has actually mentioned online.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little research for this movie about why certain people think it sucks, and it was the same complaints coming up again and again. Same theories. No one else seems to have mentioned that one, so I just wanted to throw it out there. Hat tip to Brad.
That seems. This movie, I don't know.
Oh,
how
some
anyone...
of these names are the same. I just noticed there that Mr. Foster Travel Service. So that place has been in business for the 30 years between this and the 1985.
Yeah.
Now did they? This black guy's going to become a mayor, and suddenly the business shuts down.
Yeah.
What's that saying?
Well, I'm. See, okay, but this is why it makes me wonder if this didn't all already happen, because he was the mayor in 1985, right?
Yes, going for re-election.
So he's going to have this conversation with the black dude at the soda shop,
mm-hmm.
and then mention the mayor, and Marty McFly is what clearly gives that guy the idea to run for mayor.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's up for re-election in the 80s, Marty McFly is the one that told him.
So you think... And this is the same issue as the Chuck Berry thing. Do you think...
I think more of a solid argument than the Chuck Berry thing. The Chuck Berry thing honestly feels like a gag, you know?
Because this is in 1955. Now, I don't know much about American history, but this was right around a very... there was a lot of turmoil around this time with... what's the word?
Black people?
Yeah, no, there's a word for it, right? Like, not black history, but something like that. Racial prejudice and equality.
Yeah,
and
we were
stuff.
Pre-civil rights movement.
Civil
so
rights,
shit
was
still
was
like...
But, right,
but
right.
This dude that will be the future mayor, he's all right because he was behind the counter. He was the help. As if he was in front of the counter, uh-huh. then all these people in this idyllic 1955 California, the racism would have come through.
Right, okay. But because he was kind of like the slave, it was okay?
Like, I'm not saying that's ever okay. I'm just saying, like, back then, you were either the help
if you're
or...
Behind, yeah, so he's like the slave, so he's... They're all okay with him, but if he was, like, a customer, they would have, like, chased him out or something? Is that how it would have worked?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay. So,
I'm still... Something still sits weird with me just calling him a slave, but you are not wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you know, that's how they would kind of, you know...
Yeah.
That's how they kind of look at him.
Yeah.
So...
There's a reason marches happen, like, a decade after.
Right. So, you're saying that if it wasn't for this white boy telling him that he could be mayor, that black man would not have wanted to kind of do it.
Well, because they're about to have the conversation, and then it's going to, as Marty McFly walks away, it's going to cut back to the guy, and he's going to be dazing off looking into the air when he mentions Mayor,
he does light
that
up.
That is the catalyst
bit.
That makes
you
him.
You think so? You don't think it's just him giving him the idea a little bit sooner than he would have?
No. Because if he got it a little. If he didn't get it then, he wouldn't have been up for re-election. He would have been up for election.
It's 30 years. Like, so? He's not going to become mayor immediately. You can't just fucking roll into public office just because you want to within, like, a year and a half. Except for one very, very major exception.
I'm just saying, if they didn't want Marty McFly to be the catalyst that makes this dude go from working the soda shop to thinking about running for mayor... They would not have written that thing in.
That is the idea.
And they may have created a plot hole by making this cool moment.
That is definitely the idea. The idea is that Marty, you know, I'll concede it. That's their intention. Marty gives him the idea.
I can make that argument easier than the Chuck Berry one.
I think that's a bad argument for them to make. Uh-huh. I think it's a funny gag, but kind of like how people take the Chuck Berry thing a little too seriously, where they're like, well, oh, what you're saying that, a black guy stole a white guy's ideas and stuff. That's kind of what the same argument is here. Like, you're saying that
he didn't steal his idea. He gave him like a boost and gave him like a direction to go to. And now that dude's going to do that.
And then he went in the exact direction. Like, he didn't go for another position. He went for the mayor.
Hold on. He had never thought of that before Marty McFly mentioned mayor. Never thought about that.
But he may have thought about it in 2 or 3 years. And how long are you mayor for? I don't know how often elections are for mayors.
Oh, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I guarantee he didn't just decide, he didn't become mayor right then, like the next year, and then go up for re-election in, you know, stay mayor for 30 years or something. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. It's an interesting, in a world where everyone gets so kind of offended about stuff, it's an interesting argument that I've seen people make online.
Uh-huh.
And I'm seeing it come up more now with the Chuck Berry thing, because everyone's kind of reminiscing about Johnny B. Goode, and then you got those people on the internet who are like, well, I think that sucks, because... Mm-hmm. So, I think it's a similar argument to be made there.
Look at those granny panties. Oof. Oh, yeah. See, and this is another one of the mini movies in the 80s that basically told American boys that it's totally cool to pee ball up in people's windows.
Mm-hmm.
Or put a ladder up there and then climb up like in Porky's. And then get a boner and have your boner push the ladder away from the house and you fall down comically like a clown routine. That happened, right?
If it didn't, I want to make a movie where that happens. That's fantastic. That's some solid comedy right there.
But oh, man.
If that hasn't happened in a movie yet, I want to see that in a movie.
Yeah.
You can... I have this idea for a scene in a... Like, that kind of movie I want to see, like, in a Judd Apatow movie or something.
Mm-hmm. Just throwing it out there, Judd. If you don't like it, throw it back. That's fine.
You tell me if you've ever seen this in a movie. A bunch of guys dancing in a club...
Yeah, where are you going to end this in? Because I've seen a lot of those.
Right? And then, you know, something's not quite right. And then the black light hits and they realize they're in a gay club.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see big luminous splotches like all over the people dancing, like all over the lips, like in the beard and shit.
Like you took a black light into a Motel 6.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone's just kind of dancing because they can't see what's on themselves and everything. But yeah, these straight guys can't.
I'm not even gonna lie. I have seen when I was in the Navy, I saw dudes wearing their dress blues and like go to a club, and very quickly leave that club. yeah, very quickly turn around and leave. And you're like, hey, where'd John go?
I don't know, but there's a trail of light that way.
Yeah, it's glowing. He's ethereal.
He lit up like pregnant? One of those.
soundtrack. No, it's a sea creature trying to attract a prey in the dark. I've never seen that in a movie. I want to see that. I think that'd be a hilarious sketch.
Just like
somebody peeping through the window of a dorm and getting a boner and it pushing them away.
Bro.
That cracks me up. That's a very simple visual gag, but I'm easy to please.
But I'm pretty sure, like, now you'd get, like, ripped apart for that unless the rest of what you were doing was way more offensive and less rapey.
Yeah, you really have to push the boundaries just so that does not look...
yeah, like, now people are way more, like, we know that assault is bad and it is finally, like, publicly frowned upon and shit. Yeah,
now those movies would not go very far.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that didn't get as much... outcry as they probably should have. Incest.
Yeah, everyone just seems to this is the start of one of the greatest, most well-known science fiction trilogies or movie trilogies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
However, when people recount this movie lovingly, they...
One detail is overlooked or glossed over.
Yeah, they all just kind of... The fact that this movie is a lot of the comedy is based around incest is just not cared about. Nobody gives a shit.
Same thing with...
they lovingly remember this family film.
Yeah. There's a lot of incest insinuated. There's lots of near rape. And just very aggressive kind of sexual assault and stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, it's the second one, isn't it, where Biff kind of... grabs Lorraine in the street and he's like, when are you going to get it through your thick skull? You're my girl and shit.
Oh, yeah. Biff. Yeah. In this one, we see Biff try and commit a rape. In future Biff, when he's like Donald Trump, like millionaire rich with a failed casino, he's already committed rape for at least 2 decades.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Maybe not in his eyes, but in the eyes of all the women around the casino.
Yeah, you gotta get Bill Cosby in his, like, black pirate suit with the red and black feathers. Rufio! but yeah, like, he...
You've been sitting on that one for a year?
No, but maybe 2 weeks.
Just waiting for the right movie. This is why you're so excited to talk about this one.
Well, huh? We haven't done Hook yet.
That's true.
I know a dude that bought...
Sexual assault. The gag still works. I'll throw it in there.
Yo, I know a dude that bought that Rufio costume and, like, does shit. Like, works, like, does shows in it. And I'm pretty sure he... might have, I'm nodding my head saying that he did it, but verbally I'm saying he might have basically done that. So we're currently accumulating info because that doesn't sit right, but...
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Is this a story you were talking about before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know what you're
on. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're getting there, bro.
Sorry, guys. Some things don't make it onto the podcast.
Oh, well, some things just shouldn't make it. Hey,
some things shouldn't happen, honestly.
Also, yeah. Some things just shouldn't happen. And also, other things just don't make the podcast because my mother listens occasionally and shit.
Is she the listener that we have?
Yeah, I think so. No, but I do know the listener. I totally know the listener.
Fantastic.
She's listener number 2, as far as I know. No, 3, because we had Chrissy.
Oh, shit, this thing is skyrocketing in popularity.
Yeah, that is. We got a like this week.
Hey.
Oh, and here's Doc Brown's mansion.
Yes.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Is this one of the places you can visit
in LA?
Like LA or something?
I'm pretty sure it's on a tour.
That's a beautiful house. It must be standing still.
Mm-hmm. Murder House is on the tour. It was a frat movie, like a college movie in the 80s. It was like a frat house. And then
a horror story, right?
Yeah, Murder House from season 1.
Yeah.
Shit's been in a lot of movies, apparently.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can see it as a frat house.
Mm-hmm.
Little Einstein puppy.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
I feel like that the mind control thing from Batman Forever with Jim Carrey was entirely based on this.
Yes.
You, like the suction cup, like there's no way.
I see it, yeah.
He's even wearing the crazy helmet. Doc's got some really good solders there. Uh-huh. Holy shit. If I would have done that, all those wires would have come off and that suction cup would still be on his forehead.
Look at that jacket. What is that? Snakeskin?
No. It looks like something Richard Cheese would currently wear in like a concert.
It's maybe like a space alligator.
Yeah.
He's kind of wearing the outfits people would wear in 2015 Back to the Future timeline.
Oh, absolutely. I was reading an article recently about how in 100 years people watch this movie will have a very hard time distinguishing 1985 with 1955.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So this is the first kind of evidence that when you change the timeline, it's a very gradual change.
Mm-hmm.
And other movies have made it kind of like played the rules of when you do something in the past, it instantly affects the future or something like that.
Well, what if it took 30 years for the mayor thing to totally change? I'm just saying.
Well, let's see what happens. Let's see if he's still up for re-election when he goes back to 1985. Maybe he's became mayor earlier.
And he might have won the election when he gets back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because he'd be so much more popular. Mm-hmm. When we go back, actually, I don't know how much is... Obviously, Marty's family's life is much better, but the town still looks kind of shitty. You still got homeless people sleeping on the benches and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the shitty-looking town and the 1950s pristine town is the exact same set. So did they shoot the pristine stuff and then dirty it up, or did they dirty it up and then go through like a massive cleaning?
Fuck that shit. I would always shoot the clean stuff first.
Shoot like the, because most of the movie's the clean stuff.
Yeah. It makes so much sense to shoot the dirty stuff afterwards just because so much more work.
I'd hate to be on that crew that has to dirty it up and know I'm going to be back here in a couple days to clean this whole thing again.
You'd absolutely just half-ass the dirty work, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I don't have to put, like, finish or clear coat on this, right? Can we just scatter some trash?
Yeah, just get some leaves and just throw it around the place.
Yeah, some fucking newspaper tumbleweeds. See,
because with this interaction that he's having with him, this is starting off a chain of events which are going to affect his future, which would affect him in a sense and potentially his journey back. So if it was an instantaneous thing, like there could be something he does or something he says. Because, when he disrupted the whole meeting of George and Lorraine, that started the whole thing that's making the picture fade and potentially him not existing, right? So as soon as he did that, if it was an instantaneous thing, he should have just blipped out of existence.
Yeah.
End of movie there.
See, but maybe...
And then the world would have just exploded because then... You know, no, there's nowhere for it to go from there.
But I don't, but like his brother's head disappearing, that picture is now not implying that, oh shit, your brother's going to be born without a head. I think that the head is now how much of a percentage of your body weight is that? I say that's like fucking 15%. Now your brother is 85% chance of being born as opposed to the 100 that he was when he was actually alive. You know, like,
yeah.
it's more like as Marty's doing shit, as they're gradually vanishing, the statistics of that exact event happening the way that it did the first time is getting less and less.
Yeah, there's a generous window of time that he has to unfuck what he fucks up.
Yeah, unfuck yourself.
Unfuck yourself before you fuck yourself.
Unfuck yourself, recruit. God. Say that shit every day in boot camp, man. It sucks. It wears down on you. And then you realize, it's boot camp. Don't be a biggity bitch.
Speaking of biggity bitch, I'm going to go take some NyQuil.
Oh, yeah. You do your thing. You do your thing. 1.21 gigawatts of power. Is that really a bolt of lightning, or are they just tossing around fake science math? Like when you watch like medical shows and most of them are just saying stuff, or if you're like an actual doctor or whatever, you listen to it and you're like, individually, I know what all of these words mean, you know, but together they mean nothing. Like, is that this scenario, or is Doc Brown really, is Christopher Lloyd like on top of that shit? If there are any engineers that know, I'd be interested in knowing. He said it.
That's the movie we're watching.
Doc Brown should have gotten stitches for that toilet fall.
Those are the same photos he had in the house we passed over, right?
Yeah. Are they as pristine looking, or are they kind of fucked up and like smoke damage, like the like the pictures on the shelf in the beginning of 13 Ghosts?
Did not see that.
You know, I'd be interested to know that.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Because if that was the case, and it happened right about the same time, that same shot where you see those pictures when you see the Brown Mansion burn down, there you go. Be interesting. And I'm pretty sure your head's not like 15% of your body. That was just the number I threw out. I'm bad at math.
Just alternative numbers.
Yeah. Like alternative facts. They don't have to be true. You just have to believe it hard enough.
You say it loud enough.
You don't have to be true. You just have to believe it hard enough. I said it louder.
Why didn't they just walk around the bikes?
Yeah.
He's being kicked in the ass by a redhead with braces.
Yeah, that redhead.
How much does his life suck?
That redhead's got some teeth on him. My God. Now, those teeth were like 15% of his face.
Now, Lorraine, he's picking up on this now. Yeah, the Florence Nightingale effect. Let's put it in less PC terms. Lorraine is a dangerous slut.
Yeah,
what movie were we talking about? Where?
Although, really, if she was older and was still doing this to people Marty's age, I think it would be more akin to grooming.
Yeah, definitely. We were talking about another movie, or watching another movie recently, where we said, and it's that thing from Speed, you know, relationships that start under extreme circumstances never work out and whatnot. She's all about the extreme circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
So it's literally, she was not attracted to George McFly at all. And you can get that with the way they are later in the earlier in the movie, in the future. It's purely because she found somebody to look after and shit, and it's just, and so yeah, him doing that instead has set that off. I forget where I was going with that.
She's a dangerous slut.
Yeah, that's. I think there was. Does it come up again in the other movies or something? Or
I don't know. I mean, clearly in the part back in 1955 in the second one. But
yeah,
her her descendant in the third one is faithfully fucking married with kids to Irish him.
Mm-hmm.
To Marty. Marty! See, what date is this? What date does the dance sign say?
It's just Saturday night.
Sarah in October.
Yes. Or no, it's November right now.
Okay, there's nothing, there's no leftover Halloween decorations anywhere, and nothing setting up for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving was a widely celebrated holiday at that point in time in America.
But would they be going all out 3-4 weeks beforehand?
It would not be an Enchanted Under the Sea dance. It would be a themed holiday. They did something in 1885 in the third one that made it where holidays don't exist in this universe.
Elaborate.
In the Back to the Future movies, either he goes back in time on October 20th, October 25th. I'm pretty sure it's 25th. And then he always goes back because of 30-year gap. It's either in October or November throughout the movies. Mm-hmm. That's basically the month that he's in. And there's never anything in regards to that. I mean, I know California people are weird, but, I mean, they celebrate holidays just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So this, again, goes with the idea that because he went back in time, everything that is going to happen is supposed to happen.
But they've celebrated Thanksgiving way before 1885.
I mean, so did we? Were we thanking the fact that we met up with a bunch of Indians when we were still murdering the fuck out of some Indians? I'd be interested to know that.
It's your country. I don't know the details. It just sounds like
I was born
you've been
in
celebrating 1987.
Not.
I was born in 1986 in a different fucking country, so I don't know. I don't know your customs. I know that Thanksgiving goes back a lot further than 1885, though, right?
I mean, the event that it celebrates went back further than that, but I'm pretty sure, like, if this Christ fellow existed, I'm sure the majority of the world didn't celebrate Christmas, like, the year after he was crucified and died, you know? Like,
okay.
what is the breakup there between what? Event happening and when we actually look back on it through rose-colored glasses without the plague and without the genocide? Like, when...
With other shit going on.
Yeah, like, when do we turn around and turn it into a PC story to teach our kids and then make turkey hands and, you know, on paper plates and shit? So I don't know if we were celebrating in 1885, but I know that they don't have holidays in 1955 or 1985 in Back to the Future.
I'm going to find out when. I'm just going to throw into Google.
Or 2015.
When was the first Thanksgiving? And I know what it's going to tell me. It's not going to be helpful at all. But I just want to see.
When was Thanksgiving made a holiday?
Ooh,
you got to work on your Google foo, sir.
When was trafficking? That's a different.
You know, it's kind of nice though that his brother's only got calves now, because some people are all calves, and that can't be a high percentage. And also, his brother was kind of slack ass anyway, so like he's a good family member to go first. Like, I know, like, even with parents, every parent says like, "Oh, I love my kids," but the same with Kevin McAllister. You know, those motherfuckers had a favorite.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the monkey sphere thing. If you got one monkey and it dies, you're sad. You got two monkeys, one of them dies, you're sad. You're still sad. So you got 10 monkeys and one of them dies. You're sad, but you're totally not as sad.
You get over it quickly.
You know, so say you got 100 monkeys and one of them dies. Do you give a shit? Mm-hmm. What's the number where you stop caring? So I think that's the same case with Home Alone. Mm-hmm. There's got to be... If they were to lose one or two of those kids, I'm sure they'd be fine with it.
I had like, I think I had like 16 fish or so at a time, which is not far off the number of kids in that movie. And yeah, when we lost one, I was like, yeah, that sucks, but we still got a bunch of fish, right?
Uh-huh.
So I totally get that.
Yeah.
All right, so Google comes back with Thanksgiving. It has been celebrated as a federal holiday every year since 1863.
Oh, okay, so it was
during
new.
During the Civil War.
Okay.
So are you going to...
Was California in 1885, or were we still gold rushing it, wild westing it? Was that like the ends of the days of lawlessness? Because if it was municipalized and turned in, is that even the word? Yeah, if it was like mainstream and actually with the federal government.
When was California created?
Yeah, yeah. When did California become a state? When did the Wild West die?
When was California founded? California was founded in 1850.
Okay, so they totally should have been celebrating it.
So 13 years later, they celebrated Saint Thanksgiving's Day. Mm-hmm. And then
all the people in that town that were frightened of Western Biff, did they really look like the kind that if they had Christmas lights, I don't think they would be setting up Christmas lights in that town. I don't think that 1950s Biff and 1980s Biff scares the town enough to influence whether they decorate. But maybe 1885 Biff does.
So you think 22 years, it's still a young tradition. Something happens where they're like, yeah, we can give this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it never happens.
What could he have done that made them want to stop doing Thanksgiving? He was only there for a week.
Yeah, but Doc Brown clearly hung out. You know, Doc Brown is there for like a hot second.
Okay.
Was he not?
No, he was there for like 9 months or so.
Yeah. Shit happens, man. And honestly, if you saw a flying train, or a train that just disappeared, it wasn't flying at first. If you just saw a train that just disappeared off the tracks, mm-hmm. wouldn't it kind of fuck with your worldviews?
I'd stop drinking.
Yeah. I'd stop drinking. I might believe in aliens.
Yeah.
Depending on the amount of lightning.
How? Now you've said that. The train that they use in as a time machine in the third movie, that's not the same train that goes off the edge, right?
No. The one that goes off the edge is the one that Clara would have died in. Hence why the ravine was called one thing before, and then they...
No. The train itself that they used to push the DeLorean to ATA, because that goes over the edge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That went over the edge.
So there's no salvaging that train. So that's a whole new train that he customizes into a flying train. Maybe that's...
I don't think it's a whole new train that he... I think it's the train that disappeared in front of the train that collapsed that he just upgraded, right?
No, he didn't take a train back. He took the DeLorean back. And the train is just pushing the DeLorean.
Oh, yeah, so he had to totally rebuild one after Marty left.
Yeah, or take a different train and turn that into a
flying
machine.
Where'd he get the plutonium? I'm sure that's answered.
But I guess, you know, you make a good point. Maybe it's not something Marty did in 1885, but maybe it's something Doc did in, like, 1890 or something. Like, build a fucking flying train.
Yeah, because, you know, seeing as how it's a lot harder to source those items 100 years before.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of the third fucking movie.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we might watch the third movie at some point, but that's another huge plot hole of, like, oh, we don't have any gas to get her up to ATA. Well... Doc went back in a time machine. Where's his DeLorean? Where's his gas? Siphon that shit. You are... this is your favorite moment coming up with the horse poo, so I'm going to get some shot glasses and you can bust out the... What is it called again?
It's Belvedere Peach Nectar. It's peach and apricot flavored vodka. It's 80 proof. Ugh, why did I grab this? I hate vodka. I'm not even Russian. The last time I drank vodka out of shot glasses was with a bunch of Russians, and I caused a couple $100 worth of property damage to a hotel. However, I can't get it out of this, so we're not going to get it out of the bag. We're just going to open it and call it a day. Oh, there it is. I'm slacking, but it just got covered in poo. Oh,
that's one of the things he talks sings about in his song. One of the questions he gets asked constantly: was it real manure? No.
What was it? Was it a bunch of dirt?
Yeah.
Of course it was. A bunch of.
She's giving him the fuck me eyes. Look at her. Ooh.
Yeah, she is.
All right, cheers, sir, to the peach vodka.
Yeah,
it's a peach fancy nectar. Bottle. It's got a little...
it's fucking Belvedere, bro.
It's got a little lacy nightgown on and shit. So
it's only in a gift bag.
It dressed up for their night out with us. Yeah. So.
The gift bag, I pulled the bow on it, and instead of untying it, it just tightened the knot and made it really tiny. So I didn't take it out of the bag. I just unscrewed the neck. Cheers.
A professional. Yeah.
I'm not going to be held back. You know what that was? Not enjoyable?
No.
Good at all. We're going to go dark for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh.
Actually, it's not too bad. I've definitely had worse.
I taste the peach, but it almost has like a...
But the turpentine really kind of overpowers it.
Yeah. But the peach almost gives it a turpentine and cotton candy flavor. You know those shots where they take like cotton candy and when you pour the liquid on it, the cotton candy just dissolves and turns your shot that color and vaguely cotton candy?
Yeah,
that's what it tastes like.
Yeah, two great tastes that kind of just are going to ruin your morning tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a friend of mine in town with a cotton candy or a candy business that started cotton candy called Sky Candy. She makes artisan cotton candy, which you laugh, but and I did.
You
too.
Say artisan cotton candy? I'm expecting cotton candy in the shapes of like Pokemon and shit. You know, really eccentric designs.
It's like
a flavor kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I saw her, she threw me a tub of absinthe flavored cotton candy.
Oh, and it was
amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like all of her cotton candies are like four different colors, but they're not all like shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like the raspberry one, it's like this pink with these like dark splotches in it and like different consistencies. And at first glance, when you look at it inside of the tub, it looks like the dark splotches are actually raspberries. And then you taste it and know it's all cotton candy. And it's just visual as well as awesome.
Okay.
Bro. But she has mentioned recently alcoholic cotton candy. So now we can skip the whole putting real cotton candy in a shot glass and pouring alcohol on it. And now we can just card you and sell tubs of cotton candy at circus shows at the merch table.
Nice.
And then you're getting wasted while you eat cotton candy like a child.
Where the fuck was she when we were watching Willy Wonka?
Right? Yeah, bro. Yeah. See that Marlin on the wall?
Yes.
By the door? In the Yin Yang Twins Cribs episode where they rented the house and the cars and didn't even do a walkthrough. As they're walking through the sea room, which clearly they just thought of the name and started naming fish upon seeing them the first time. One of them turns around and notices this big blue Marlin on the wall. And he's like, that's the Marlin that we caught somewhere. And like names the name, but like clearly... He's like thinking of a place that would have that is not landlocked.
Uh huh. that's crucial to the story.
Yeah, if you have not watched the Yin Yang Twins Cribs episode, it is hysterical. See, Marty McFly's clothes in the '50s. I would totally rock the shit out of all of them because they're all classic hipster wear. I mean, even in the '80s when he's wearing suspenders on his jeans, but they're just dangling down. I have been doing that with my clown costume for like 6 years. And I do that entirely because of Marty McFly. Cause he made it look cool.
He's making a comeback.
Yeah. I have buddies of mine that are now like, making dad jokes and rock this and have like little kids and shit.
Mm.
You know, roll up your jeans, wear your Converse.
Meanwhile, Lorraine's outfit has not aged well at all.
No, not at all. When my grandma died, I'm pretty sure we inherited some of those sweaters that were actually from the 50s. We also inherited some potheads, and that was kind of cool. They're these little ceramic statues of like women with like their little hands, and the hands back in the day, like back in the 40s, you would use the hands and the fingers to put your to store your rings on.
Okay.
But they always wore these fancy hats like ladies used to wear to church, but it was missing the top and it actually held flowers. And it was called a pothead, and they were all, like, handmade and ceramic and shit, because words meant different things back then.
You must have been so excited when you saw that on the inventory.
Bro, I was so excited when I saw what original ones were worth. Bro, it was the bee's knees.
Really?
It was the bee's knees. Also found a bunch of canned goods under the bed, but also a bunch of really cool nostalgic items as well.
Paraphernalia.
Yeah, flower paraphernalia. That sounds even worse.
So, the last...
Is George McFly wearing JNCOs? Look at those pockets. You could fit a fucking early 1990s Disney plastic VHS case in that front pocket.
And nobody would know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last one we recorded was E.T. We spent a lot of time talking about the ride at Universal. The one before that, we talked a lot about Raiders of the Lost Ark, which has a ride at Hollywood Studios. The ride at Universal for Back to the Future, do you have fond memories of that?
Yes. It also, like, and granted, there's some rides at Universal Studios right now that I can't ride often because they have a tendency without fail to make me sick. Anything Harry Potter related, I'm fucking looking at you. Aside from what used to be the tiny little kid's unicorn roller coaster, because that shit is my jam all day. But the ones that require, like, screens and there's weird... like ride vehicles to move you all different directions. Mm-hmm. At one point, they tend to stop on me halfway through the majority of the times that I ride it because those rides are just known for that happening occasionally.
The more moving pieces, the more likely it is to break down.
Yeah, and sometimes it'll go months and nothing happens. But when it breaks, like when it rains, it pours. And like if it breaks down once, really good chance it's going to happen again that same day.
Yeah.
And it stopped, and I'm at this weird angle, at like a 45-degree angle, looking like down to like the ground in like the corner of the room, which was great, because then I started throwing up everywhere, and it was just dropping straight down.
Fantastic.
Yes, I don't do all that. But the Back to the Future ride did not make any... It wasn't the kind of ride that makes you sick.
No.
But it does bruise the fuck out of you.
It's a rough ride. And the Simpsons is the ride that replaced it now at Universal Florida. Mm-hmm. Is still the same way. I think Back to the Future has closed in every single park now, actually. I think Japan was the last one. I have a friend, Scott, living out in Japan. He was there for the final day over there.
Well, it's old enough now that we have, like, entire generations that do not know what this movie is.
They don't get it at all.
Has no
and
idea.
They do not appreciate the whole elaborate pre-show and story and everything. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite... parts of that ride was actually waiting in line for it, because there is a good 45 minutes or so of footage of Doc Brown talking to you over the monitors, setting up the story of a 8-passenger DeLorean that he'd set up.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to go on this adventure to these
the ride
places.
Vehicles were so dope.
Yeah,
getting
absolutely.
To sit inside of a Back to the Future DeLorean
the
is so cool.
Capacitor in front of you and shit. The ride, if you're not familiar, of course, whatever you have planned doesn't happen, and Biff, who's Thomas F. Wilson again, mm-hmm. Reprising his role.
It's great that the Universal just managed to get the actors that matter back when they do licensed rides.
There's a little bit with Marty, but he's not actually Michael J. Fox, I think, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, Christopher Lloyd and Biff are kind of the stars of the ride, and it's the same guys from the movie, which is awesome. Biff steals the DeLorean, and then you jump into another DeLorean while Doc is remotely kind of piloting you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You chase him through 2015, future Hill Valley. And
thousands of years ago.
Millions of years ago with the dinosaurs and shit. Where else do you go? It's been a while, I think.
You end up getting back to sunny Orlando and saving the day.
Yes.
Now, there's rumor that the Simpsons ride... The Simpsons ride is basically the same ride with a new skin and a new video, right?
Essentially, yeah. It's a simulator, and you bounce from place to place. Yeah. Same gags, same effects.
Same basic operation.
Absolutely. Very easy kind of overlay to do.
They could have pulled a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and not even changed like the movement and just changed the video accordingly, and no one would have noticed.
Nobody would have cared. No. I do like the Simpsons ride.
But if it still beats the shit out of you, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of crossover from the original ride that we don't really... Because they're really good about not beating the shit out of you in their rides anymore.
Yeah.
So if it's still happening, I don't know.
They took a lazy... yeah, the ride simulator aspect is probably exactly the same mechanism as it was for Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick up the Back to the Future trilogy on Blu-ray, it has the full ride experience on there.
What?
With the whole queue video and everything. And then you can ride the ride in your home. It's just pretty cool.
That's cool.
With the date layouts and everything. And it's totally worth picking up the... It's the reason I picked up the Blu-rays.
Now, it's projected on a giant, like, curved screen. I would love to... project that the same way, but in a VR format, so you could really get the full experience from your couch without just watching it on the TV.
I don't know if that'll ever happen, but that is a damn good idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you could just play the video on your VR, and then they have those, like, you can stretch it in the VR environment.
Yeah, the video that plays on the Blu-ray, it's definitely formatted more for a TV screen, mm-hmm. so it really just kind of cuts on the center, so that you sucks. See all the action. But that's a great point. Yeah, with the VR headsets now, mm-hmm. that'd be a very easy thing for them to release. I wonder who has the rights to that.
Well, there's a company that was going dark rides, like old Carnival dark, like the haunted houses to travel in like 18 wheelers from like city to city. A lot of those have been closing. A lot of like old Carnival rides have been closing and being mothballed for good. And so there's this company that it's kind of slow moving because it is time intensive, and also they do a lot of work with like grants. But when those are going to close down, they take their 360 gear and document the ride in HD so that because we're never go. It's a it's a technology that's like 50 years old. You know, we're never gonna build rides like that again.
Mm.
And like I feel like Universal, like in theme parks in general, there is a changeover of iconic rides that has to happen over time as things get dated. So they should totally be doing that for those rides before they go south. Like Jaws.
Mm.
What if you had the 360 footage of Jaws before they turn it down for Hogwarts?
That'd be awesome.
You know, like, you have people sell videos, but I want it with a 360 camera just for posterity's sake.
That's very true. That's a really good market. I'm sure they're exploring it.
Mm-hmm. Titties. Just touch it. Just touch it. Yeah, he is about to commit a rape, and we're just glossing over it because we're going to get, oh, yeah, Billy Zane, punch him. Sucker punch him. You do that in Titanic, too. Punk ass. And I'd like to say Billy Zane's a really good asshole, but I really dug him in The Phantom. I don't care what anybody says. Purple Billy Zane's best Billy Zane.
That's what all the ladies say.
He called him Peckerwood. I want to start using that. Can we just start calling people Peckerwoods now?
You want to bring it back?
Yeah, you totally bring it back.
Because you know we have so much influence.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Absolutely. When you call people cunts, when I call people cunts online, they get mad.
Oh, really?
When you call people cunts... they're just like, he's English. It's cute.
Like, thank you, sir. May I have another?
It's endearing if you say it. If I say it, it's mean.
Have you tried doing it in a British accent?
Even
just for that sentence that you're using it in. Just to get the reaction. I guarantee you'll have a better reaction if you do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, we were talking, so we glossed over it, but George McFly is being kind of courageous, and he's seeing her get violated. And so, yeah, there's, like, some adrenaline there, but Biff obviously has size on him. So him, this whole scene for him is really out of character.
Yeah.
For
and
George.
He's realizing that now.
Yeah.
He's kind of in over his head, he realizes.
But he was already dancing, and that's also out of character for the George that we've been introduced to up until this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were talking over it, but earlier, you could see Biff spiking the punch. And... It's kind of a plot hole that you may realize upon like watching number one, why is George all of a sudden getting retard strength? And Biff spiking the punch is kind of a throwaway. I'm sorry, rephrase that. Biff didn't spike the punch in this. He spikes the punch in number two.
Right.
That's the whole... Yeah, yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. But now we've taken a shot and drank a lot of beer. Yeah, he's super, like, courageous right now, and it makes no sense. But in number two, you see Biff in the background spiking the punch, and then you see George McFly drinking it right before he walks outside to go get who he thinks is Marty out of the car, who turns into be Biff. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, in number two, they added the liquid courage in there, and now... It clears up a plot hole that you didn't even know, really.
Just makes it, yeah, it kind of...
It's another
it just makes
one
it
of,
a little more believable.
Yeah, it's another one of those things in Back to the Future where every little line, every little background thing, they meant something even if they didn't get around to it.
This is a big jump of character for him.
Yeah.
From what we've been watching him this whole time. For him to open the door and see that Biff's there, you'd kind of expect the George McFly we've been watching to hightail and walk away.
Yeah, and close the door again. Peace out, Lorraine.
Because he really, I mean, he doesn't really have any massive connection to Lorraine, right? I mean, he thinks she's cute, but...
She is just the girl that his friend Calvin Klein has been macking on.
Mm-hmm. Which...
And it's not even like he has been... It's almost like George McFly, will you please get, you know, like shoe fly, don't bother me, like George McFly, take my leavenings.
Yeah. Exposition.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the video about a year ago, I think now, of Coldplay with Michael J. Fox?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So cute.
Uh-huh.
And like, yeah, we're going to play your favorite song from Back to the Future, and then they play Earth Angel. You fuckers. But then they do play Johnny B. Goode in the end, and it's totally worth it.
And it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's
For all the shit that he's been through, I'm glad that he still plays guitar.
Yeah, I'm glad he got up and actually... did it.
Yeah. A lesser man would have went through that shit and given up anything that takes effort with my digits.
Yeah. I'd be like Terry Crews, just like operating instruments with my muscles.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Just a drummer or something.
Absolutely. Terry Crews can entertain me with his titties all day. See, and this, you know what's about to happen? The power of the Rock is going to save the day. For real. Like, just give it a second.
The Rock?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. Climactic movie kiss. Punch that redhead and kid in the teeth. Look at that. Look at that. He is up, and he is... And this movie is going... Look at that. He's now playing a guitar, and the power of the Rock brought back the other two kids.
I was really confused as to what you were talking about there. I mean, did you mean the Rock like Dwayne Johnson? Did you mean the Rock like cocaine? Like, there's so many ways you were going with that I was not sure. But you mean Rock like rock and roll. Arousing, let me... get back into this thing.
Yeah, well, because these people in the 50s, there's a certain type of rock that has the most power in certain decades. We're clearly going to see that this kind of rock was better than the next type of rock.
Mm-hmm.
But for every situation, there is a right type of rock.
Absolutely.
I just watched Pick of Destiny the other day for the first time in years, and way funnier than I remember.
I should give that another shot.
Oh, my God.
I was quite Chris Glover when it came out as well.
Yeah, it's just such a good movie to giggle like an idiot at.
Yeah, just turn your brain off and just accept it for what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even at... Okay, I think it was Bill Burr. I was listening to Bill Burr and Joe Rogan on Joe Rogan's podcast recently, and he was talking about Adam Sandler movies and how everybody gives Adam Sandler shit for making terrible movies. But Bill Burr, he's like, my kid wanted to watch one. They wanted to watch Jack and Jill. He's like, so I watched Jack and Jill with my kids. And my kids fucking loved it. He's like, so I'm laughing too. He's like, so no, Adam Sandler doesn't make shit movies, but he's making movies for his kids. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's making movies for them. He's not making movies for the people in our age bracket.
That's true. He stopped giving a shit about our age bracket a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, but when you put it in that, well, of course, I hate any performer's kids show. Mm-hmm. Julie's Green Room is on Netflix now. Julie Andrews is doing a Muppet show where she runs a theater school. It's really hard to watch, but because it's Julie Andrews, every Broadway star wants to be on it.
Okay, so that chick that's there said, hey, George, you ever think of running for president? Does she mean class president or presidency of the United States? And do either of those things happen?
Well, in 85, George...
Your insinuation is that all it takes is somebody to say something to someone, mm-hmm. and that will happen for them in the mm-hmm. future. It's to plant the idea in their heads.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's like Inception. Yeah. So, yeah, that dude was not George W., but he was George W.
George W. McFly.
Yeah.
Do you think George McFly becomes class president in the future as well?
Oh, I don't think he was talking to George McFly.
No, he was, yeah.
Oh, really?
He's like, yeah, hey, you laid out Biff. Hey, you ever think about running for president?
Oh, he probably did become class president.
Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I wonder if I don't remember that ever being mentioned. I guess there's no organic way for it to come up in the conversation that mm-hmm. they have in the future. But
yeah, but you might as well just fucking work that. It's like in Frequency, we're halfway through the movie. The dude's talking to, like, the child version of his buddy, and he's like, just Yahoo. Remember, invest in Yahoo.
Right.
And then at the end, his buddy's loaded.
Okay.
Because he invested in Yahoo.
Are you thinking of Frequency, or are you thinking of Hot Tub Time Machine?
I said Frequency.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Google in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because at the beginning, he's bitching about, I should have bought that Yahoo stock when I talked about it, because daily and a dollar short. A girl at a fierce corsage.
Seen the Family Guy parody of this scene?
Yeah.
When they play Rick Astley, he's like, I didn't like any of that. That one silent voice in the room.
Have you heard Rick Astley's newest stuff? Because he, like, put out a record
you mean
recently.
Interviews?
No, he put out, like, music recently.
What?
Like,
no
Rick
way.
Astley is, like, writing shit and putting
no,
shit out.
Bullshit.
Yeah, no shit. We'll find it on YouTube. It's like, it's not my cup of tea, but, I mean, Rick Astley's still doing shit.
So the joke's on us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a very diplomatic way of putting it, Marty.
Did anybody pinch you on St. Patrick's Day?
No. I was wearing green, which is the rule, right?
Yeah, I wasn't. I intentionally wore black and red because I had to
just
gig that day.
Just test me, bro.
Well, I got pinched once by one of my buddies, and then I fucking immediately, like, dead-armed him because I got shamrock tattoos and green all over my ass, so joke's on you, motherfucker.
I'm wearing green, and if you want to see it, we can go down this road.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you're going down. One way or the other.
Such a weird prophecy to say. So
that was a rim job reference, if anybody's wondering. Oh, man.
So, and this is a gag they bring up in Family Guy as well, but it's a theory that's been floating around for a while. How does George not get the slightest bit fucking suspicious? They have a kid that looks exactly the same as that guy that she had a massive crush on back in their teenage years.
But is that implying that dude showed back up 14 years later and fucked her in secret, right? Yeah, that's what it is. Because Marty McFly is clearly not 30
years
old.
He's not
30.
Okay, yeah, that's
so
a very
like
good
that
point.
Dude that they met, just all of a sudden Marty McFly is born, and it's just now implied that 16 years ago your wife totally cheated on you, bro.
I'm just saying he's Calvin Klein, and that name pops up as a very popular business in the future. That, oh, okay, no, I made a schoolboy error there. I was about to say, but wait, he doesn't go back at the same time, but that's right, because he fucking plays with the times, that's right. I tell you, it's been 7 years since I saw this movie. I'm enjoying it all over again, though, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's like a whole new ride for me.
Yeah. Man. See, again with the fucking clocks, bro. Again with the clocks. I want that blinged out swinging Teo Kitty clock from the very beginning, the pink one with the rhinestones on it. Random, obscure, Back to the Future prop that no one would recognize. Don't rip it up. You're gonna have to use so much tape. Now, all those pieces in his hand, they go in his pocket or just throw them up in the wind?
Oh, there we go.
So clearly, he knows that he just ripped that whole thing up for show.
Yeah. Just for a big dramatic reveal that pays off in 30 years.
Yeah, it's not okay for you to do it, but it's okay for me to do it. It's what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
You would think not having extension cords that were substantially long and not with sockets in shitty places would be something that an engineer and a scientist
would... He's playing it awfully fast and loose. Like, you would think there would be...
For a dude that does science for a living, that should not be one of the problems.
I get, you know, everything kind of being exact, but you should allow for a margin of error,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Especially for something like this. Okay, be very specific about the timing and everything, but for the length of cord you need, don't get it, you know, to the exact 2 feet where a branch is going to throw you off axis or something.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So... Is that... And I'm going back onto your theory now. Is that why he's got a little model of a man hanging off of the hands of the clock very first shot?
I think so.
I think it's a little...
Because he's had 30 years to plan for this moment. So he's orchestrated everything. In actuality, it makes us feel like Doc is a brilliant man, but also a blundering idiot at times, when in actuality, he's playing the long con... And he is the puppeteer, and we're the puppets, and he controls the strings.
Until he goes too far, and then he gets committed in the second one.
Yeah.
He plays the game too far the other way.
Yeah, he plays it too well. You can't be too awesome, bro. If you're going to scam the casino, you don't go in and make $10 million off of one hand. You make a bunch of little ones, and then they don't notice.
Christopher Lloyd Rolls, we've watched him in Adam's Family Values, and we will, I swear one day we will get to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but what are your favorite Christopher Lloyd Rolls?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Okay.
I killed your brother!
Oh my god. I love that, but it's also horrifying in so many ways.
Oh yeah.
It's just really...
I really dug Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because when I was a kid, I was working at Disney, and at that point in time, it was awesome. So like... I'd go into the park all the time, and there was so much shit at MGM that was from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, they had the...
They had the refrigerator and, like, the oven and shit from Dinosaur. They had the Rocketeer backpack.
Didn't they have the machine that crashes through the bricks at the end? That was the studio tour they had or something at the end, right?
Yeah, they had that. They had all kinds of shit, man. A big hanging net full of that was still the big hanging net full of bricks. By
I remember that. Yep.
That was one of them. That was a prop one from the movie.
That's awesome. Now you say, was it like prop from the movie, like Planet Hollywood shit is, or
Yeah, bro. Okay. Well, I mean, think of, like,
so, like, fake.
Well, no. Like actually
prop. Like,
prop from the movie, because they made it and it doesn't really cost them anything.
Okay.
You know? And there were a bunch of, like, background props in the
Because there's
Acme
a lot
warehouse.
Of stuff in Planet Hollywood where they say it's from the movie, and then the photo that they have next to it that shows what movie it's from clearly shows it's not from the movie.
Yeah. Right?
Bruce Willis is wearing a shirt with 3 buttons, and the shirt hanging up next to it has 4 buttons. You know?
Yeah.
I can't suspend my disbelief enough for that.
But at this point in time, they also had the bombs with the green balls from The Rock in the same area, and like, yeah. and the shuttle from Armageddon. So I would assume, and it was a big model one that's pristine on one side, and then Meteor fucked up on the other. So they didn't have to make 2 models.
Smart.
You just shoot it from one.
Because you don't want to waste money on a $120 million epic.
Yeah. So you build this big shuttle, you paint it great on one side and not great on the other, and then you film it from one side to the other, and then just reverse the footage.
Oh, Michael Bay.
Well, I mean, you spend less money making fake space shuttles than you can spend more money on explosions and 360 shots.
That's true.
While people look stoically off into the distance. Like, it just got real. You know they're making a new Bad Boys?
Yes. Yeah.
I am excited, and I don't know why I feel that way. I guess when it came out around the same time as Fast and the Furious 2 did, both were set in Miami, and I was a kid growing up in Florida, so like Hollywood movies that are awesome for little boys that are also set, it just, I didn't know Florida was the shitty like armpit of like this part of the country. Those movies glorified my state.
Right.
So I guess like I just have this unhealthy nostalgia for it, which is why I'm looking forward to the third one. Because I'm not a fan of Martin Lawrence in any way, shape, or form. And I only like Will Smith when he's on Fresh Prince.
I can tolerate Will Smith.
And Men in Black. The Men in Black movies are fun.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying this soundtrack. It's Alan Silvestri, who also did the theme for the Avengers, the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But I can't think of any other soundtracks he's done. He's not one of those like big Hollywood hitters who does like a lot of stuff.
He's
like
done
Williams.
Iconic movies, but he is not an iconic movie composer.
Back to the Future, I think, is his main theme.
He's not like John Williams. If you
no,
were to say,
he's no John Williams, he's no Hans Zimmer.
If you were to say, hey, do you like Silvestri? They wouldn't know right away that you're talking about the dude
you'd
that did
to,
this music.
Yeah, you'd have to explain Back to the Future and
then they'd be on board, but they would have no name recognition.
Yeah, but I guarantee I can't name a third movie he's done. I'm gonna have to look it up now.
Did he do any Batmans or
that was Hans Zimmer. Okay. Well, at least the Nolan ones.
Yeah, what about the old ones? Who did all that shit for Tim Burton?
Danny Elfman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Danny Elfman's another big actor.
Oh, of course he did. He also did Nightmare, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you seen the video of him singing, doing the Jack Skellington part, playing the piano?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If I was him, I'd be doing that in every piano bar I went to.
He did Forrest Gump, which, you know, is not hugely iconic.
Aside from the Feather song, everything else, all the other songs that you remember in that movie are actual licensed songs.
Exactly.
By, like, Creedence and stuff.
Yeah. He did, The Avengers in 2012 and the first Captain America music, which makes sense because a lot of Avengers carries over from Captain America. Lots of the Robert Zemeckis stuff, so Christmas Carol, Beowulf. He did the music for Revenge of the Mummy, The Ride. Speaking of rides at Universal, I didn't know that had a unique soundtrack.
No. That's who did... he didn't do the soundtrack for the actual Mummy, did he?
He did actually for The Mummy Returns.
Because the soundtrack for the
Which
first Mummy is amazing.
It's a pretty good soundtrack.
Yeah.
The Mummy was 1990... he didn't do music for the first one, because that's not on here. But no, that's a pretty good soundtrack as well.
Yeah. But still, and all those things that you've named off are good, but
they're not iconic like Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
And even Avengers, you know, it's really only because, you know, I've watched it so many times, and I'm a big fan of the Marvel movies, so I see the threads carry over mm-hmm. to different movies and stuff.
See, I would not.
He's no John Williams. He's no Danny Elfman in terms of how prolific he is in the genres.
I like the Marvel movies, but nothing about the music is
very
super.
Very few movies have an iconic theme that you can kind of remember after you leave the theater.
But I guess that's the thing. Like, they want music that accentuates a scene and doesn't distract from it. The same reason that, like, when you're using, like, music in a live show, you, like, whatever,
don't want to distract from what's happening.
You don't want a song that's currently playing on the radio that they can sing along with.
Yeah, a good soundtrack will just kind of...
You just want it to be there and be present.
You don't. Yeah, exactly. It's not going to overshadow the moment. So we just saw Lone Pines Mall, which is the payoff to something 70 minutes ago, where he finally went back in time and crashed through the tree. So we're going to take our shot of... Oh, it's Jim Beam honey whiskey. I'm sorry. It's whiskey, it's honey, it's a hot toddy. So help me out with this.
Damn it, okay. Cigarette chaser.
Put the lighter down, man. It's whiskey, I said. Ugh. Ooh.
Oh, that's not fun.
So that's terrorists taken care of, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to worry about them for the rest of the movie, huh?
Mm-hmm. So that Marty McFly that just disappeared was Marty McFly A. This is Marty McFly B that Doc Brown spent 30 years waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one that we just watched the whole movie with after the initial going back in time has been Marty McFly B's journey. But at the very beginning, we're seeing Marty McFly A, the initial one, so that Doc Brown in 1955, that weird tangent that we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the whole movie after the initial him disappearing was Marty McFly B, but the original Marty McFly A that we saw at the beginning was the one that made Doc feel guilty for 30 years and had the hanging man clock.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. It's a tangled web.
Time is a loop.
Yeah.
Time is a loop, man. Let's listen to some Grateful Dead.
I think the lesson here is don't take movies so seriously. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can pick apart if you want to pick apart. Like, the time travel rules are, I think, the most complicated rules of any.
But even if you
movie.
Peter Jackson it and have, like, notebooks upon notebooks, like, written yourself just to keep everything straight in your movies, if you care enough, you can hack anything to shit.
Oh, yeah, we but time find... travel in particular is particularly susceptible to that. So
also space travel
there
in science fiction.
I don't think there is a perfect time travel movie.
Absolutely not. I
cannot think of one. I think this is probably as close as it gets, though.
Now, does Inception qualify as time travel? Because I feel like that is as close to sticking within the realm of possibility and facts as far as physics.
Yes, but I would not... I wouldn't class it as time travel. I'd class it as time perception, if anything. There's no back and forth that would really mess with the timeline itself.
It's not a time travel movie. That is just one of many aspects in a plot.
Yeah, you just travel through time slower. It doesn't affect the order of which things play out, and what they do in one thing doesn't have consequences in another or something.
Look at those suspenders just not holding up your pants. And then if you're walking into a place that is, like, kind of... If they're, like, no shirt, no shoes, no prop... Well, like, no... Well, not no problem, because that's Jimmy Buffett, but, like, those, like, places that, like, want you to be, like, dressed nicer, all you got to do is pull up your suspenders and then just walk through their door.
There he goes.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. He's done.
He's ready to hit the town.
He's done. That's why I miss being bald, bro. Didn't have to do nothing. You just wake up and stumble out of your house. Bro, it's the greatest. I shaved the night before.
I don't count Inception as a time travel movie. I think
we're
this
still
is
on that? Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm still going on it.
Look at this. Somehow his brother is not a shithead anymore.
I know. And he's the one who was in jail before, right?
No, Uncle Joey was in jail.
Uncle Joey.
Yeah, his brother was delivering pizza and was like the least productive out of all. But I mean, probably the second least, because at least he had a job. Marty McFly's in a band.
He's the older brother, right?
Yeah, he's the older brother.
I guess, you know, them getting together, they sorted their life out much quicker. Maybe he did become class president, and that set them off on a fantastic tangent for their life very early on.
Yeah.
Where they were able to give their older
kid. Because
kids.
Someone in the movie said the thought and incepted it to them, much like Marty incepted to the mayor before the movie even happened.
You're not going to let that go, are
you? Nah, bro, ever. This movie is totally different than it ever was before. It just, the more you think about it, the more you pick it apart, the more it makes your head hurt.
It does. But I still stand by. It's still the best time travel film of all.
Oh, absolutely. And it might be one of the most loved science fiction movies outside of the Star Wars universe.
Even if you shit on it, it's a like, for those reasons, it's still a great film.
Yeah. Iconic trilogy.
Now, as he starts to grow up, would you not think they would start to recognize him? Like, granted it was 30 years ago, but somebody has that big of an impact on your life.
Yeah.
You know, we're 30, you're 30 now, right?
Uh-huh.
Yesterday.
Yep.
31.
Old.
So 10 years ago, if somebody had such an impact on your life where you met the love of your life and you stuck together and, you know, those are very extreme circumstances that they fell
in
love
with. I'd
buy
you a handy. If you know, like if somebody did that for me, I'd totally buy them a handy.
But then let's say you have a kid and as he's starting to grow up, you realize, hey, you're starting to look like somebody I used to know.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't there be
some red flags there? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, also, if you had a kid, you wouldn't call it a handy in his presence. You'd call it an old fashioned. But I'd have some issues.
Yeah.
I would totally have some issues.
It would be a little curious, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, I got a vasectomy, and it doesn't make it where, like, I can't have babies. It just turns my baby black. Like, that's about what it is, you know? You would think he would know.
Also, I hope we see him again, but let's not lose sight of the fact that Biff tried to rape Lorraine. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't make a habit out of hiring people that try and rape my wife to do, like, menial house tasks.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Why is Biff even a part of their life still? I get it. The payoff for the movie is that we see that Biff has fallen from his highs to his lows, but realistically now.
Okay, check it. We're homies. We've known each other for a couple years. If I ever said anything or did anything, even a fraction of that uncouth towards your wife, number one, might be arrested. Number two, I'd be cut out of your life entirely, right?
Absolutely.
So if someone tried to rape you...
Yeah, I'd even go as far to say you'd be off the podcast.
Yeah. You not invited to the Christmas party anymore.
Yeah.
The 4th of July picnic, that's different. But the Christmas party, you're not allowed.
Yeah, there's something humiliating about him having him wax your car or something, but the guy tried to rape your wife 30 years ago. Like,
the only way I would keep my prior attempted rapist around waxing my car is if he did that on a leash and I kept him in the little room in the basement. That is the only, and I'm not saying I would, like, I've thought about that in the past, but I'm just saying with good welding, you can vengeance.
The kind of welding the Doc had on his machine 30 years
vengeance
ago.
Vengeance is a possibility. I'm just saying. Like, that's how it is. But yeah, Back to the Future. That was fun. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of fun. Yeah. It's not a flawless movie, but no movie is, really. I find it very, very tough to call a film flawless.
I'm sure we could find one if we, like, intentionally went out on the search. But
I know
they are few and far between.
I know I've used the phrase flawless to describe a movie, but having like then gone back to it, there's absolutely something you can pick apart about every single film. This film, yes, there are flaws. However, it's a fun ride. There's no getting around that at all.
No, it's the bee's knees. It's Back to the Future. It's one of the most iconic trilogies of the 80s. It is the reason why when America discovered Michael J. Fox had Parkinson's and was leaving Spin City and not really being in the public eye. This is the reason that America got sad. This is the reason why
we all understood.
When we watched Christopher Lloyd, Michael J. Fox on Jimmy Kimmel, at first we all got happy, and then it kind of bums you out, and you just hope that 2018 doesn't take those gentlemen from us, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this introduced these actors to America and turned them into favorites for at least a decade.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that they are still, you know, a lot of actors would hate that they've been, that they're constantly associated with a certain role. Like, you get Harrison Ford hates that he's always going to be Han Solo.
Sure the actor of Biff got tired at least a couple times of being approached and talked to like he's actually that character.
And we will play that song for you a little bit later.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Check out, what's his name? Thomas Wilson. Check out his stuff on YouTube. He has a hilarious song about dealing with the fame of Back to the Future. It's really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Michael J. Fox, even if you were typecast to play that type of character, you're a really, really likable character. And, I mean, he was a really likable character in Family Ties, too. And he was doing that while he was filming this, correct?
Yeah. We didn't even talk about the fact that he replaced Eric Stoltz, right?
It's an alternate universe that actually... Okay, the theory I told you about?
Yeah.
Eric Stoltz, he's Marty A.
Okay.
And that explains everything.
Gotcha.
It actually explains nothing. It just makes it more confusing.
he's Marty A1. And
you know, it's my dad's a Santa Claus in December, and the real Santa Claus, and granted, the real Santa Claus has changed throughout the decades, but he's known as Santa Prime, and whenever he gets sick... and dies, all the other Santa Clauses around the world, all your ones that ring bells, all the ones in malls, they all meet up, and they meet up for Mortal Kombat. And the winner of that is the new Santa Prime, and that's how it works. So
Santa Claus is like a code. It's like James Bond.
Yeah, it's like James Bond and like Kickboxer.
Along. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's what Eric Stoltz did.
That makes sense.
But once again, my name's Carl Skeens. I had fun.
I had a lot of fun as well. My name is Dave Mosley. Thank you for joining us for our Big Gay Date. We hope you join us next time. Hit us up on biggaydate.com. Let us know what movie you would like us to watch, or visit our Facebook, facebook.com/biggaydate. Thank you, and good night.
Amblin!